Hello and welcome aboard another episode of a podcast about music.
This is already going so great. Welcome aboard another episode of a podcast about music. I love it.
Ahoy, mateys.
Wow. Are we talking about sea shanties this week? By the way, I'm Logan, one of your hosts.
I'm one of your hosts, Eric.
That's a little unconventional, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Logan?
I'm doing great. We've been MIA for the past week, so it's good to be back in the old captain's chair.
Out at sea.
Yeah, I suppose so. How have you been, Eric?
Same old, Logan. You know.
You know the feel.
How about you?
You just asked me. I've been pretty good.
How's your COVID going? You know, I mean, COVID season.
I mean, so far so good. Can't really complain. A lot of things going pretty well. So,
yeah, it seems like there's a little light at the end of the tunnel right now.
I agree. How is your COVID journey going?
Like I said, seems like there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Well then.
Well then is right.
Off to a great energized start, I can see, from both of our tones. This week, we're kind of going to switch it up, as you might have been able to hear with the intro. Eric is going to tell me, mainly, about a musical artist. I'll let him introduce him in a second. But we're basically just going to listen to him, and then he'll give me some information. We'll do a few song recommendations, roll right into Real or Fake, and then end the episode with some weekly wisdom. So it's pretty fun.
I look forward to that part.
You know what? I look forward to hearing Eric shine this week. This is really his episode to shine through.
I'm not sure about that.
A breakout star.
I thought we were going to go halvesies on the info.
Oh, it's like 90-10. Have you watched the movie Hitch?
Hitch with Will Smith?
Will Smith, yeah.
No.
The 90-10 method.
No. Nope.
Yeah. Kind of applies in this situation, except we're not kissing.
Were they recording a music podcast at the time in Hitch?
No. No, they were not. But it applies. You're going to provide 90% of the information. I'll provide 10% of it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Logan, who are we talking about today?
Thought you were going to introduce him, but we're talking about Johnny Cash this week, folks. And someone who has created many a great song,
Logan,
and a lot of information that Eric, thankfully, will be telling me about.
Logan, quick question. Number one. Is Johnny Cash still around? Is he still with us?
I don't think he is.
He's not, sadly. Yeah. Johnny Cash passed away in 2003.
Oh. So?
It seems like yesterday. Like it's just time 18 flies,
years ago.
You know? Yeah.
Depends on when he died. September, so 17 and a half years ago.
Yeah.
Too bad.
So.
But he made a lot of great music while he was still
alive. Are you familiar with Johnny Cash at all?
I'm familiar with his music, not with him personally. I know his middle initial was R, and he was born on February 26th, 1932.
That's your 10, huh? Let's make
it
more like 50-50.
Whoa, okay. Why don't you start us off this week?
How would you classify his musical genre?
Kind of rhythm and blues.
Kind of country.
Kind of country, kind of rock.
Kind of bad to the bone.
Kind of all of it blended together into
I
something very unique.
Where certain platforms like SiriusXM and Pandora might put him is outlaw country.
Outlaw country. That's a very
outlaw
good,
country.
Very good description.
Logan, I don't mind telling our fans I'm not a big fan of country.
I'm not a fan of country at all.
Traditional country doesn't do it for me, especially contemporary traditional country. I turned my nose up at, I'm not ashamed to say.
We had a discussion like this in English class a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah?
About if anyone liked country music, and thankfully no one did.
Well, let me tell you. You listen to Johnny Cash, and you're going to realize, I do like country.
I like his music. It's outlaw country, though.
It's still country music, but it's got a very, very original, deep, and musical take.
It sure does.
A lot of people, as so many artists we've talked about, a lot of our listeners out there know Johnny Cash music and didn't even realize it was Johnny Cash. They also don't even realize that it's country music, but it is.
For sure, yeah. Why don't you start us off with a little background information on his birth and his childhood?
So, why don't you ask the questions and I'll answer. Shoot.
When was he born, where, and to who?
Johnny Cash... was born on February 26th, 1932 in Arkansas. He was the son of a poor Southern Baptist sharecropper. Yeah. And throughout his childhood, he ended up working on the farm.
Cool.
Yeah, quite literally out in the fields alongside his parents, helping them to pay off debts.
Yeah. And now, who were his parents?
Oh, Johnny Cash's parents?
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Cash.
Well, what were their first names?
Oh, you mean their names. Yeah. Oh, Ray and Carrie Rivers Cash.
Nice. Rivers Cash. That's a very cool name.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Rivers Cash kind of sounds like a band name.
Or like what you do when you're playing poker in Vegas. I'm going to...
Why are you talking through your teeth?
I'm going to bet the Rivers all the cash.
I bet you don't know what you're talking about.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
Logan, he had a strong draw to music, and he showed himself to be very talented at a young age, but didn't really pursue it. He was writing songs at the age of 12, but nothing really came of it. They certainly didn't have the money for much. He took a couple singing lessons when he was 12 because his mom recognized his talent, but funny enough, The music teacher that he had gone to told him to stop taking lessons and never deviate from his natural voice.
Well, in high school, he actually sang in a local radio station, so I don't know if that was before or after
his music teacher said that. Oh, after he was 12, for sure.
So I think that's really important that he stuck with his voice and wasn't really taught and still became such an incredible singer.
Oh, yeah. So during his formative years... Right out of high school, he joined the Air Force after a short stint in the workforce.
He enlisted on July 7th, 1950.
Thank you, Logan.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to add?
Doing a little more than my 10, I guess.
He ended up stationed in Germany for about 4 years in the Air Force. He worked as a radio intercept officer, eavesdropping on Soviet radio traffic. Let's bear in mind this was post-World War II. Early Cold War.
Yeah.
So he ended up in a band in Germany in the Army, or excuse me, Air Force.
Okay.
That, you know, had certain success. They performed live while they were in Germany, but it was when he got back in 1954 with another couple friends of his that he started a band. Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two.
Yeah.
You've seen that also?
Well, I've heard of them. Him and a friend moved to Memphis, Tennessee, and he sold appliances while studying to be a radio announcer. And that's he kind of formed the Tennessee Two.
Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two, which would be three of them, right?
The Tennessee Three.
Yeah. Well, then it went on to the Tennessee Three. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So... yada yada yada, he became a huge hit.
Oh yeah.
But let's talk about the yada and the yada.
Please take it away. I've said that phrase like twice within the minute.
So he did manage to score a recording deal with a producer, the details of which we'll just say are lost to the ages, but they're exciting. They are
evidently
for
not that exciting.
Any young country artist, but he made it happen. He had a very unique voice, very unique sound, some great songs.
Absolutely.
Some great original songs. Specifically, he reached real fame in 1956 when he wrote and released the song I Walk the Line.
I Walk the Line, yes.
Logan,
it's a great song.
Thus, we find ourselves at the first song suggestion of the night, I Walk the Line.
Ladies and gentlemen, and whoever is listening, everyone out there, here's a little of I Walk the
Just
Line.
Just a little.
Anyway, you can see how that would be catchy. I'll link the full song in the show notes so you can get a full taste of what it's really all about.
It probably becomes a little more engrossing and poignant when you hear him sing.
And like, I'll play the first lyrics.
So, what a great line! I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Yeah.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Johnny Cash.
This reminds us of a movie of the similar name, Walk the Line.
Really?
Starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix?
And
the Joker.
Reese Witherspoon.
I'm thinking of Reese Witherspoon from the Eric Andre Show, who is not Reese Witherspoon.
No.
What were Joaquin and Reese doing?
Acting as Johnny Cash and his second wife, June Carter Cash.
Interesting names.
Unfortunately, he was married early on while he was out there touring. He had 4 children at home, and ultimately his first marriage did not work out.
Oh, yeah.
But he went on to, let's just say once again, yada, 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 got over a lot of drug and alcohol issues.
That's good. Good for him.
Through a lot of help from his second wife, who was his touring singing mate, June Carter, aka June Carter Cash, who helped him out of the doldrums and really helped usher in the real success and positive parts of his life, beginning with their marriage in March of 1968.
Now, did he have just 2 wives, or was he a little busier?
No, as far as I can tell, 2.
2, okay.
Oh, he remained married to June Carter Cash, a.k.a. the love of his life.
Well.
For the rest of his life. From 1968 until 2003, like we said. And they went through a lot of great ups and downs together, most of which can be seen on the movie Walk the Line.
Now, do you know if Joaquin
Phoenix...
We're not sponsored by Walk the Line. Do you know if Joaquin Phoenix did method acting, which he was very popular for, the production of... I believe the movie was called Joker.
Logan, not only did he do method acting, he did method singing.
Really?
Joaquin sang a lot of the songs in the voice of Johnny Cash.
Joaquin is...
to quite widespread critical acclaim. I haven't seen the movie. I should probably
Neither
see
I.
it.
Yeah,
but it's supposed to be wonderful. And I've heard a lot of the recordings from it, and he sounds great. He's quite a good singer. He sounds very close to Johnny Cash, not perfectly like him, but good enough to make a great movie.
Let's get a song up from Walk the Line.
I guess so. You can tell that's not quite Johnny, but...
No. Let's see. So, it's not perfect, but it sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can't believe that's Joaquin Phoenix. Short hair.
He's got a deep, booming singing voice. You can imagine that.
Yeah, I feel like also he could probably make his voice sound like a lot of things. He's a very talented actor. An actor, as Tobias would say, from Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
TV show.
Television show?
Television program. I haven't
television
seen Arrested
program?
Development in a long time. Goodness me.
So, Logan, Johnny Cash is once again one of those artists that most people have heard, don't realize they've heard, and to suggest a few songs is only just chipping away at the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah.
So let's give them a second song suggestion, shall we? Somewhere to jump off into the Johnny Cash world.
Yeah, well...
It's hard not to enjoy Johnny Cash music.
And it's hard not to enjoy this song, which I'm not even going to attempt to play. Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire. Guess who he wrote that with?
Who?
I'll give you 2 guesses.
Elvis?
Either Joaquin Phoenix or his wife, June Carter Cash.
Well, I say Elvis only because Elvis dropped into a recording studio with him one time. But, probably his second wife.
Correct,
Amundo. Right? Because Joaquin Phoenix probably wasn't around.
That is correct. He certainly was not when they wrote Ring of Fire. Great song. there's a silly song that, funny enough, my seventh grade science teacher used to refer to.
Really?
And he directed us to check this song out. I didn't until just recently. So it's been a number of years, but I like to give credit where credit is due to my seventh grade science teacher, Mr. Farinola.
Is he still with us?
I'm certain he is.
Shout out, Mr. F. I don't know you, but you sound pretty nice.
And the song is A Boy Named Sue.
I remember you telling me about
this. Have you heard about this song?
I've not heard this song. I've heard about it.
Fun, silly song. It's our third suggestion, and it shows you
why what is it silly?
Because it's a boy named Sue, Logan.
What's silly about that?
Check the song out.
Yeah?
It's a funny song, but a great song. I think you've been caught in a sticky song.
Situation, is what I think just happened.
It's not S-I-O-U-X, is all I'm saying.
S-U-E, I'm guessing.
S-U-E is right.
I think back in the day it was preposterous for a boy to have a traditionally feminine name. I think that's the funny aspect of that song, right?
Listen to the song.
I think the PC police is going to be on you this week, Eric.
Listen to the song, Logan, and PC police for that matter.
Yeah, well, let's see. What else did we have?
Let's see.
What else did you have planned? Because it was a 90-10 this week.
Johnny Cash went on to record with some of the greatest musicians, not just country. He recorded with Bob Dylan, almost on a lark. They just got together. He had the ability to get calls from and call some of the greatest musicians of our time because he had that kind of clout. He recorded with Bob Dylan.
Did you just correctly use the word clout in a sentence?
Correct.
Make sure I'm not dreaming.
Why would I misuse clout? That's not like me.
Goodness me. I think that's the first time I've ever heard you say clout before correctly.
Logan. If I had to wield any more clout tonight, you'd be out of that director's chair and I'd be sitting there.
I did have to explain what the phrase no cap meant to you yesterday in the car. So
funny enough,
there's that.
I do believe it was today and that's not a real expression.
It was yesterday. We were unloading some things out of the car.
And cap.
I think
it means no lie, Logan.
I think you're using that interchangeably with another phrase with a profanity in it.
Who else did Johnny Cash just on a lark record with?
I don't know.
U2?
U2?
Yes.
Did he really?
How about...
Fantastic.
A little band known as The Highwaymen?
Really?
Do you know who The Highwaymen are?
No.
Has anyone out there, by show of hands, we have live studio audience tonight... Has anyone ever heard of The Highwaymen?
No, I have not. I have not. No show of hands. No one showing their hands.
Logan.
Have you? I mean, you kind of brought it up and then...
Oh, no, I'm just waiting for some suggestions from the...
Live studio audience. Well, I mean, it's kind of a tricky thing to want since we really don't have one. You know, This isn't live, right, Eric? I have to chop about 80% of this up before putting it out.
Have you ever heard of Kris Kristofferson?
I have.
He was one of the Highwaymen. How about a man named Willie Nelson?
Oh, Willie.
And how about...
I know Willie.
Waylon Jennings.
We're
talking heavy hitters of the outlaw country world.
Yeah, sure.
And they formed the Highwaymen. It was once again one of these super groups, if you will.
That's super.
Kind of like Traveling Wilburys, except a little bit more super.
Traveling Wilburys.
They sang a lot of songs that will go down in infamy as awesome.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to check out The Highwaymen as well.
Maybe we'll do them next week. Because I know we tossed around maybe confusing the audience and talking about the musical Chicago this week. But that idea kind of derailed.
Fell by the wayside, as they say.
Well...
It may have been because dismissed by one of us.
It was dismissed by you.
I don't think we need to point fingers.
Well, I'm not. I'm stating it, folks. No finger pointing here.
Not necessary.
Anything else to discuss about... Oh, I didn't even write down the order of our song suggestions.
Let's talk about it again.
Well, we did.
One of us said...
Walk the line first.
Walk the line.
Uh-huh.
Then one of us, a.k.a. you, said...
Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire. Then we threw out a fun joke song named a boy named Sue.
Joke, yeah.
And then we talked about his seriously fun collaborations with the Highwaymen, U2, as well as Bob Dylan. You want to check out a really cool song?
Sure. I'm just writing down, like, I can put links to playlists of the Highwaymen and the U2 collab.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, would you like to check out a very cool song is what I'm asking you?
Cool in your eyes or mine? My ears or yours?
Well, let's very just say story. Cool in terms of it may bring a tear to your eyes.
Oh, well, not many things can do that.
There's a great Bob Dylan song that the two of them recorded together, Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful songs Bob Dylan ever wrote,
mm-hmm.
based on a person he definitely knew in real life, called Girl from the North Country.
Ooh. I'll write that down.
Girl from the North Country by Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan.
Cool.
Do we want one more song?
Sure.
How about a cover? A cover that Johnny Cash did of a U2 song.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you sure?
I'm sure.
How about one?
What?
How about one?
Is that the song title?
One.
One. Cool. That won't be hard to find at all.
Not the number, but the O-N-E. One.
Yeah, I figured.
Which spells the number, I suppose.
The letters of the number.
I think, as always, I believe that his music will speak for itself. And all of you out in listener land will enjoy this foray into a genre you usually don't feel very comfortable in, but you'll love it.
Eric, are you familiar with the thought experiment, The Ship of Theseus?
Not at all.
Well, Eric, in the metaphysics of identity, The Ship of Theseus is a thought experiment that raises the question of whether an object that has all of its components replaced remains fundamentally the same object. The concept is one of the oldest in Western philosophy, having been discussed by the likes of someone and Plato by around 500 to 400 BC.
Logan, that sounds kind of like the discussion about does a human replace all of its cells every 7 years?
Essentially the same. It's supposed that the famous ship sailed by the hero Theseus in a great battle was kept in a harbor as a museum piece. And as the years went by, some of the wooden parts began to rot and were replaced by new ones. Then, after a century or so, every part had been replaced. The question then is whether the restored ship is the same object as the original.
I would argue, and no one wants to hear this, who cares?
If it is, then suppose the removed pieces were stored in a warehouse. After the century, technology was developed that cured the rot and enabled them to be reassembled into a ship. Is this reconstructed ship the original ship? If it is, then what about the restored ship in the harbor being the original ship as well?
How about the brick church that is taken apart brick by brick and moved across an ocean by ship and put back together brick by brick? Is it the same church on the other side of the pond?
It's just another example of the ship of Theseus, my friend.
In my opinion, my friend, it's another case of who cares? But that's just me. That's my philosophical view on the issue. That's great that people like to think about these things. I do believe we place a little bit too much importance on stuff. Oh my gosh, how old is that building? Is it original? Is he the original?
Well,
host of a podcast about music, or is he the guy that Eric replaced? It doesn't matter who the original host was, who replaced who. It doesn't matter.
Who thought the idea up to have a podcast again?
I would argue that it was originally derived
of
by
this podcast, not of a podcast.
Oh, I was going to say, I believe Marc Maron is...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, generally considered the creator of the modern podcast.
Or Walter Cronkite.
Joe Rogan took it to a new level.
He did, yeah.
All thanks to Anthony Cumia's inspiration. So
you've done your research.
Take that information with you, or not.
All I'm saying is the creator of a podcast about music can have his moment with the Ship of Theseus if he so pleases,
All what right. are you gonna disassemble your computer right now?
No, I'm saying something that was of importance of yeah. something that happened late last week. It's an IYKYK moment, really.
IYKYK.
If you know, you
Does
know.
Does it have something to do with space exploration?
To a certain sense, but not really.
No idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm not surprised. Well, I don't want to give too many spoilers. I won't say. It's from a TV show that had a finale on Friday that you apparently watched with me, but
I don't even want to guess about this.
If only you had a little more vision.
I want to wager a guess, but I just can't see past.
I wanted to ask you if you want, even listened to it, really.
My vision's getting blurry. I can't even have this conversation.
It's a visionary new age, Eric. I just wanted to make you happy.
Logan, yeah. Let me ask you something. What? Have you heard a lot of people are into this new show, WandaVision?
WandaVision?
Yeah.
It's like, it's,
they call me the Wanderer.
WandaVision? Yeah. It's like seven natural wonders of the world.
Yeah.
Tour.
Seven natural wonders of the world. Sure.
Yeah. I wonder what that could be about.
Yeah.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real or Fake. I'm one of your hosts, Logan.
And I'm Eric.
Eric, it's good to be back. Wow. Goodness gracious.
Back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Who are those imposters playing us during the first portion of this show? Slackers, if you ask me.
Modern day synthezoid. Right?
They call me the Wanderer.
Okay. Are you going first this week or am I?
Yes, definitely.
Excuse me?
Go ahead. After you.
Okay. A cat that went astray about 15 years ago has been reunited, older, and maybe wiser, with its owner.
15 years?
Yeah. Brandy, a brown tabby, was reunited Monday afternoon with Charles, who adopted her as a two-month-old kitten in 2005. It's amazing. I think it's unbelievable, he said Thursday. I saw her, I picked her up, and she started to purr, and it was very emotional, Charles said. It was nice to have her in my arms again.
Was that Prince Charles?
Just a Charles.
Oh.
I don't know if I don't know if he was of royal blood.
Maybe.
I'll have to ask him. Another story, Eric, if you give me 5 seconds to reboot my computer.
Oh, boy.
And we're back. My second story also has to do with a cat. The cat's out of the bag.
Cat named Charles.
Maybe. The cat's out of the bag. Scientists have discovered a revolutionary new approach to animal cloning. The secret? A specific genome in a rare cat breed called a Miskin.
That's it?
Well, this cat breed... This cat breed, I have to look at the specifics.
Miskin
is a shortened name. It's actually called a Miskin Flurkin, and it's...
Miskin Flurkin?
Flurkin, or it can be interchangeably called...
Miskin Flurkin.
It can be called a Miskin or a Flurkin, and it's a very rare cat breed. And it's basically a genome can help an animal clone it. It's a very cool cat breed.
I'm going fake on the Flurkin.
Now, why would you say that?
Because you called it Flurkin.
Flurkin?
Yeah,
Flurkin. It's a Flurkin. It's a Flurkin. It's a cat breed.
So, that's your real or fake story. I'm going fake.
You're correct.
Miskin Flurkin.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Flurkin.
Yeah.
Pleased to meet you.
I tried my best.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, well.
Well.
I'm excited to hear your stories.
Logan, I'll remind our listeners, these are two news stories, one of which is real, one is fake.
Or at least they both should be.
They're both semi-current stories.
Good.
And they both come to us from...
Yo Mama.
No, that wouldn't be appropriate. Called Get Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y. This is out of the UK. GetSurrey.co.uk.
Ooh, good old .co.uk. Love to see it.
You're not kidding. Neither one takes place in the UK, but they're both from that site.
Very cool.
Logan.
Tell me about it.
Story number one. Plain and simple, a family in North Carolina, U.S. U.S. of A.
Yep, I understood.
Has tied a world record from the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really? I apologize for any headphone listeners. That was kind of a joke.
Well, they didn't tie, but their pet rabbit did.
Really?
I'm not sure, still reading the story, if it was a male or female rabbit, but it gave birth to a litter of, guess how many little baby bunnies? Just guess.
13.
Oh, way more.
14.
How about 10 more than that?
24.
24, good guess, Logan.
It's about 24 less children than I have.
Baby bunnies. Unofficially tying the Guinness World Record.
Cool. I didn't know there was a bunny hatching. Well, not
yeah,
hatching. They weren't in
they
eggs.
They had a little 24 bunny eggs.
Technically, they were.
Were yada, yada, yada. And then
one way or
came
another, they were born.
24 little baby bunnies. I'm guessing that in the bunny world, it doesn't start as 24 eggs. I'm guessing there's a lot of separating after fertilization. That would be my
this is not a biological
guess.
Podcast.
Let me tell you this.
It sounds very much like a nursery rhyme.
I'm guessing with rabbits and bunnies, there's a lot of identical twins in there. But I don't know. Maybe
I think there's a lot of foul play going on at hand.
Yeah, maybe if we're talking about the chicken coop, Logan.
I'm going to need to hear your second story to convince me.
I've got some other details if you want to ask me about it.
Sure.
But story number two, also out of the animal genre.
Animal kingdom.
Yeah. Story number two, coming up next once I can find it. Also from Surrey.
This is so professional.
Yep, .uk. Oh, Logan, this one also out of the United States.
Nice.
An alligator was born. Let's
see.
That's
the sequel to A Star is Born.
Yeah. An alligator was born on February 26th of this year, hence the current event.
What current event?
In a Southwest Florida Everglades Conservation Park. This happened at the Sanders Family Gator and Exotic Reptile Farm in Landry, Florida.
Cool.
Logan, this little baby alligator, born on February 26th, like I said, named Tomater the Gator. I guess they're fans of the Cars franchise.
It's a very cool name. I like
that
a lot.
Tomater the Gator, born February 26th, blah, 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 blah. Most importantly, guess how many legs the little guy had?
Three.
Still has.
Three.
Yeah, three more than usual.
Really? Seven legs?
Seven legs.
Goodness.
Seven fully functioning legs.
Wow.
He's eating well, getting along with the others in the juvenile pond. And if we decide to schedule a trip to Florida in the next 6 months, he'll be able to be viewed by the public.
I am not going down to Florida for at least another year.
Mid-August, they estimate he'll be able to be viewed by the public.
Cool.
Yeah. And there you have it. Story number one.
Hope he's
going to
be
two.
All right.
Sounds like he's fine.
He better be treated well. He's a national treasure. I think that second story is true.
The one about the seven-legged alligator?
Yeah. Why not?
What was story number one? I don't even remember.
24 rabbits.
Yeah, guess which the true story was? Try again.
The gator.
Negative.
Really?
24
it's the story
rabbits,
I wanted to be true.
And they tied the record.
That's crazy that there's even a record.
Have you ever heard the expression, oh, those rabbits are multiplying like rabbits?
Oh, those rabbits are rabbits like rabbits?
Yeah. Oh, those
like that.
Folks are multiplying like rabbits?
Oh, they're just like rabbits.
I don't know if multiplying is usually the verb they use, but anyway.
No, probably not.
There's a reason. They love to multiply for one reason or another, and one way they do that is by having gigantic litters. Hence,
oh, you make it so hard for me to bite my tongue sometimes.
24 little bunnies.
Yes.
The male that was paired with their female, they had only recently gotten, and they were assured that the male was quote-unquote fixed, a.k.a. no longer capable of fathering or siring little bunnies. Guess what? Guess where the male is now? Off at a friend's house.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Can't take any more chances.
Yeah, so, and that friend asked him, you have any children? He says, not that I know of. He's going to be in for a rude awakening once he comes back home. 24 children at his house.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say it all?
Yeah, I use that all the time. I don't have any kids that I know of. It would be a real humdinger if I did. That would be pretty crazy.
I see that you're trying to just brush over my creative
expertise.
Genius tonight, but yes, Tomater the Gator. Purely fictional.
I'm about to become Tomater the Hater because I hate how that story turned out to be fake.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, well.
Finally, huh?
I won't let it happen again. Wow, that was very fun. I really can't believe we actually just did that. I mean, talk about being rebellious.
Well, I walked the line, you know?
Yeah. That was a very clever callback.
Check out Johnny Cash. Yeah. I did a terrible job describing him and his life and career today, but I think the music speaks for itself, and you can't help but enjoy Johnny Cash music.
Seriously. If you only need... this does not make any sense. Buying baby clothes for someone who is expecting, get clothes for older age groups, 3 to 9 months. The most common baby gifts are newborn clothing, which will barely get worn.
Why?
That makes sense. Well, because newborns grow
fast.
Barely
a baby for that long, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not kidding. That you get one or two little onesies. Those are their favorite onesies. You get a favorite, you know, sleep sack or what have you. And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically it. That's all I had planned, in the words of Eric Andre.
Well played.
Thank you. It's been fun hanging out with you for the past, I don't know, 25 to 30 minutes. Probably around 24 minutes once I edit this down. Yeah, thanks for being a part of the show, Eric.
Logan, I simply couldn't imagine you carrying on without me. Happy to be here.
Oh, well, that's nice that you think of yourself as such an important part of the show. Well, folks, it's been a pleasure, as always, and there's a pretty high chance that we'll be back next week, but I can't guarantee anything because, well, just look at our track record.
Logan, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to a few of our fans and friends of the show. They know who they are, and we're happy to have you with us once again.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me. I'd like to give a quick shout-out to some of the fans of this show and some of my friends as well. They know who they are, and, you know, thank you for knowing who you are, listening to the show.
Know yourself.
Filling me with hope for the future. I'm kidding. No one I know gives me hope.
Oh, that's adorable.
It's an endless void of darkness with whoever I hang out with.
How about a little life hack that people can use?
Sure. Whoa, as if people couldn't use my life hack. Everyone's going to baby showers these days.
Yeah, virtual baby shower.
No, in person.
Logan,
I've been to 3 weddings. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How many were yours?
All 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. Mover and a shaker.
I am a busy man.
Logan, I believe we've talked about this hack before, but it bears repeating.
Yeah?
If you're a fan of iced coffee, like I am, of course, how can you ice down your coffee without diluting it?
Freeze coffee.
You've talked about this one before.
It's kind of common sense.
Yeah. Get yourself a ice cube tray.
Yeah.
If you don't have an ice cube tray in your modern freezer, go down to the local dump. Through an old refrigerator. You'll find an ice tray.
It's pretty disgusting.
Who doesn't have a local dump with old refrigerators?
Take a look in your bedroom. I'd say there's a local dump right there, my friend.
I'm not following.
It's a joke about your uncleanliness.
Yeah.
Disarray.
So go down to your local dump. Open up
that you live under the stairs.
Go down to your local dump. Open up the old ice chest. The brown.
I call that a freezer these days.
The brown ice chest. You'll find an ice tray, which is a plastic or, in years past, metal or stone chiseled tray with.
How many years past are we talking?
Between 500 and 600. Okay. You ever heard of the Flintstones?
They're the Flintstones.
Yeah, meet the Flintstones.
They're, I believe, a prehistoric family.
Something like that.
I might be incorrect. I've never watched the show.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Just the vitamins. Never? Just the vitamins.
Yeah, that's a show you don't see in reruns very often, do you?
Not much rerunning to be had. I think you watch an episode, you've seen them all, kind of thing.
We'll talk about this more in a podcast about old TV, but you know the Flintstones was based off of the Honeymooners, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody knows it, right? Yeah. I hope so.
I think that's common knowledge.
Yeah. So anyway, go down to your local dump, like I was saying. Get down to the dump.
Mm-hmm.
Check out an old ice box. Raid the freezer. Tray in there.
Trying to be like a poet or something?
No, I'm just saying that's where you're going to find it. Bring it home. Clean it. Step one.
Yeah.
Clean it thoroughly. It's been at the dump. It's been at the dump for probably 50 years.
At least 50. We might be talking like a century.
Clean the ice tray out.
It's probably disgusting.
God's sake, for the love of all that's holy. Oh, the humanity.
Take like acid to it. Honestly, yes, seriously. Dump acid on it. Even if it disintegrates, it's cleaner than
like vinegar. Yeah. Vinegar is a good acid choice.
This has happened to. I've given things to people to clean. This has happened to me so many times. Do not clean it with your tongue. I swear to God, it happens so much, and it's just so disappointing. So you don't want to do that because you'll probably contract a bunch of diseases. And I can't have any more lawsuits than I currently am dealing with. It's really, it's bothersome. So, most people have turned out fine. I don't recommend it though. Because there's that like 40% where you just might really be screwed.
Step four, fill that clean ice tray, which was not cleaned with a tongue, with coffee.
Yeah.
Place it into the freezer. Let it freeze. This could take upwards of 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
Then use it to chill your iced coffee. You will not be diluting it like you would be with your traditional H2O cubes.
Now, if you freeze espresso, would you be... opposite of diluting it?
Flying high again. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
We all know why Eric doesn't put out LPs now.
Yeah, they don't do those anymore.
I'd like to hear an entire album of you singing in a falsetto. I think that'd be really pleasing to the human ear.
I'll tell you what. My second album will be all falsetto. False, though. F-A-L-S-E-etto. Falsetto.
Falsetto.
As in, not very good. I'll do Ozzy.
Yeah.
Well, we already talked about the Brothers Gibb.
Yeah, you need to do a Queen cover
from the Bee Gees. Oh, yeah.
Definitely cover
Mercury. Call Me Freddy. Yeah. Who
they
else?
Call Me Freddy. They don't call me Freddy.
Maybe a little Axl Rose.
Oh, yeah. Screeching vocals.
Yeah.
We've gotten so off the rails. Oh, my goodness.
What are you going to do? We're talking about my musical career here.
Well, I'm sure the listeners are being held captive.
Probably listener at this point. Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us, the one of you out there.
Yeah, well, for real this time, it's been fun. Eric, thank you for chilling with me for this half hour or so that we've been doing this.
Yeah, this is our anniversary show, you know?
Of what?
79, what is it? 83.
This is our
84th.
This is our 85th episode.
85th anniversary episode. So cool. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much, Logan.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you, the listener, for listening. And we will probably see you next week.